Now, good evening, everyone. It is a joy to welcome you this Tuesday evening to the Gospel, same time, 7:45, and then again in the will of God next week, Sunday through to Thursday at 7:45. We were encouraged, really encouraged, to see a good number of boys and girls come tonight, so please remember the children's meetings throughout the week. Again, 6 o'clock tomorrow and 6 o'clock on Thursday, and then Monday to Thursday next week at 6. I also enjoyed the coffee morning today, so if you can make it next Tuesday at 10:30, you can be assured of a warm welcome. I said last night, and I'll say again, the coffee morning I feel is an excellent opportunity to have any questions answered, or if you're looking for advice about booklets, or if you'd like to obtain a Bible, there's plenty of time to talk in a relaxed atmosphere. But I say again, each night after the meeting is over, I'll stop around about 8:30. I'll give out a closing hymn and I'll say good night to you and the meeting is over. But if you've any questions, I'd be only too happy to sit and try and answer your questions and point you to the Lord Jesus, because, well, we're not here forever. And the Bible makes it clear that, well, we spend our life as a tale that is told. And there was a man in the Bible who said, "Remember how short my time is." And we are just here for a short time. And eternity stretches out for every one of us. And we'll either be in heaven for all eternity if we've trusted Christ, or we'll be without him in hell for all eternity if we reject him. So the most important matter in your lifetime is to receive the Lord Jesus, to trust him, to get the matter of your soul's salvation sorted before you die, or before the Lord Jesus comes. So it's as serious as that, and we trust that you'll take on board these warnings about the vital importance of getting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour. Now, as always, we turn to the Bible, and we're reading in the book of Romans tonight, and chapter 10. The book of Romans, chapter 10. The book of Romans is in the New Testament. And we're reading in chapter 10. After the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, you have the Acts of the Apostles, and then you have the book of Romans. Paul the Apostle writes to the Romans. And it is declared here in verse 13 of Romans chapter 10, these words: "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." It's a great verse, Romans chapter 10, verse 13. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now this is a simple but precious verse from the Word of God that we Christians pray, we long, might be a blessing to you this evening. "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is a promise from God. This is a promise that emanates from the heart of God himself. And he has stated in his Word that the individual, the whosoever, the man, the woman, the young person, that simply but sincerely calls out to the Lord Jesus for salvation, having recognized their need, having understood their own sin, and called for salvation, called for deliverance. Well, when you do that, I can assure you, not only does the Lord hear your call, but he answers your call and he saves you. "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I'm glad about that. I'm glad you can be connected by faith with the Lord Jesus tonight. I will never forget speaking to a lady 2 summers ago in the little town of Wick, way up there, just as before you fall off our country into the water. I was there for 3 weeks and with another preacher, we preached every night in a community centre. And there was a lady Originally, I think from down Hull somewhere in England. She was working in a hotel, and as her shifts allowed, she came to hear the gospel. She'd never heard it before. She'd never heard about good news, that there's salvation. She'd never heard that there was a way back into God's presence from sin's dark paths. And she listened with real interest every night. Until one night she stayed in her seat and she wanted, obviously, to speak. Myself and my friend Paul, we sat down beside her. We said to her, "Karina, what is your problem?" And this is what she said, and I'll never forget it. "I know I am not connected to God. I know I have a barrier and I cannot get through to God because of my sin." And this is the first verse that came to my mind. I said, "Karina, whosoever, if you call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be saved." 2 years have passed. Karina was in tears that night. Karina was in real distress. She understood it was heaven or hell. She understood her sins were taking her down to hell. She understood if she called the name of the Lord, she would be saved. Her sins would be forgiven. She'd be connected to God. She would have a real vital relationship with Jesus Christ, who died on the cross to save her. She knew she had a decision to make, but 2 years on, she's still not saved. And she's still not connected. It's between her and God. I'll not go into you the reasons why she is not saved. But she's made her choice. What about you tonight? As you look back down the catalogue of opportunities you've had to call on the name of the Lord, as you go down memory lane this evening into the past of your life, why are you not connected? Why are you not saved? Why have you not called? Because it's a simple call. God's not expecting us to go on a pilgrimage. God is not expecting us to become religious. God is not expecting us to pay anything. God is not expecting us to even get religious or moral or anything like that. There'll be great changes after you get saved. Everything becomes new. But he doesn't expect us to put the cart before the horse. No, he expects us to call on the name of the Lord and be changed inside out by the Lord. But you and God know why, in your case, you've never called. You see, what interests me about this verse for tonight's meeting is this, that this promise is made by God in different places in the Bible. This is not an isolated verse. And even if it was just one verse with these glorious words, we could take them from God and rest upon them. But in different places in the Bible, God has repeated this. In the Old Testament part of our Bible, in the book of Joel, chapter 2, we read these words, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered, shall be saved." We read in Acts chapter 2, a different preacher this time, called Peter, and he is standing up looking into the faces of the men and women of Jerusalem, and he says to them, "You've just crucified the Lord Jesus a few weeks ago, but if you today call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be saved." And now we have Paul in the verse we have read tonight in Romans, and for a third time, this same promise is given from God. "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You know, when God says a thing once, we as creatures should listen, because it's in God we live and move and we have our being. But when God repeats a promise in three different places, we should really be all ears. It's vitally important that you listen tonight. All heaven is waiting on your response to this promise that is given. Could this be the night when you will call? Would it not be a great relief to you as you sit in your sins tonight, as you sit with a guilty past behind you and with a turbulent present life without Christ and with no hope for the future, would it not be a great relief to you this evening to call in the name of the Lord, call for deliverance, call for salvation? There was a man in the Bible called Bartimaeus. And as the Lord Jesus was passing by, nobody could shut Bartimaeus up. People tried to shut him up. People tried to muzzle him. But when he heard the Lord Jesus was passing by, he cried out, "Jesus, have mercy on me." No, that is what God wants to hear tonight. Is this going to be the night? What a relief it would be. Just to have it all out in the open. Just to spread it before God. Just to come clean with God, who knows you through and through, who knows us like an open book. Just to say, "Lord, you know I'm a guilty sinner. My sins deserve eternal death. But I believe that Jesus, the Son of God, died for sinners on the cross. And if he died for sinners, he died for me. And I'm calling on him just now. I'm believing in him. I'm putting my trust in him." It'd be the greatest night in your life. You have to make that call. Make that vital call. It will be the most important call you ever make. To call in the name of the Lord. I remember some months ago, maybe it's over a year, I heard about a man who had just retired, had just finished work, and he had all his plans, he had all his ambitions for retirement, and he maybe sort of get into his garden with a wee bit more zeal than he should have. And before very long on this particular day, he was in real trouble. He was sweating profusely. He had pains in his chest, he had pains up his arm, but he ignored the vital signs. He just put his head, you know, in the sand and kept on as if nothing was wrong. He came in and his wife could tell by his colour that he was very, very poorly. She lifted the phone and was just about to ring 999 when he shouted at her angrily, "Put the phone down. I'm all right. I'll just take a rest. I'm okay." But as he lay down on the couch, the pain got worse, but he would not let his wife make the call. He would not let his wife make that vital call. And by the time he went into a state of unconsciousness and she did dial 999, the call was too late. And he died that very day. I'm not in the business of dramatizing and scaring anyone. I'm just telling the truth. You've had opportunities to get right with God before tonight. God in his matchless grace, God in his amazing love, has come before you and presented the message of the gospel, the good news concerning his son, how that there is salvation for the guilty. There's life for dead sinners. There's a way into God's presence because the Lord Jesus Christ is that way. And you've not accepted it. One day is going to be too late. One day you're going to miss this great salvation that we were speaking about the other night. And how then will you escape if you neglect so great salvation? I'm longing tonight, even where you sit, you can call. You don't have to audibly shout out loud, but in the quietness of your heart, you can make that transaction. You can make that call in your heart this evening to the Lord himself in heaven. Do you know what the Lord Jesus says? Him or her that comes to me or calls on me, I will in no wise cast out. Our verse, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord," as I was thinking about it, as you go into the Old Testament and you read this verse in Joel, the little book of Joel in chapter 2 and verse 32, When Joel speaks about whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, he's drawing emphasis about the importance of being saved, being delivered. If you read that little book, it's all about God's warning and God's judgment and God's threatening because of sin. Because of the wickedness of Israel, God's people, God was going to judge the nation of Israel. You read about that in the Old Testament part of the Bible. And the warning is given that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered, shall be saved. And the emphasis is very much on being saved. And that's what I want to speak about tonight. This last word in our verse, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we've spoken about this night after night, and make no apology for it. All need to be saved because all have sinned. All we like sheep have gone astray. There is no difference. We are all as an unclean thing before God, so we all need to call. We all need to be saved. And the great warning in this verse is this. You need to be saved. Saved from what, you say? Well, saved from the power of sin that binds every one of us. Do you know what the Lord Jesus said in John chapter 8? This is direct from the lips of the Lord Jesus. He says, whosoever, the person that commits sin, is the slave of sin. And no self-help group can break you free from the slavery of sin. There's only one man can set sinners free. And it's the Son of God himself, because he went on to say in that very chapter, John chapter 8, that if the Son shall make you free, you'll be free indeed. We need to be saved from the power of sin. We need to be saved from the penalty of sin. The wages of sin is death, Paul tells us in this very book of Romans. James likewise says, sin when it is finished brings death. Now that's not just physical death. The cessation of life. The person you used to be. The place that once knew you. No. It's the eternal separation from God. That when you die without Christ. And you die in your sins. The Lord Jesus says, where I am in heaven you cannot come. No hope. You need to be saved from that awful consequence of dying in your sins. And the penalty, the judgment of God that will land upon you because you've rejected God's Son. The greatest sin that any individual can commit is this. They reject and fail to believe on the only begotten Son of God. Serious business, folks. Serious business. We need to be saved from the power and the penalty of sin, because sin places us in a state of unrighteousness before God. Have you ever thought about how God sees you? We're worried how we are perceived in the community. We're worried what our neighbours think about us. But do you ever think about the all-seeing eye of God that is upon us 24/7, every minute, every moment of every minute, God sees us. I was telling the children tonight, he knows our thoughts. He hears our words. He knows our hearts. You ever thought how God views you and me? We're unrighteous. In fact, God says that our hearts are deceitful, desperately wicked. It's not a pretty picture, is it? You read in this book of Romans, and chapter 3 tells us there's none righteous, there's none that doeth good. We're all unprofitable. As far as God's concerned, because of that sin, because of that original sin that we read about in Genesis the other night, we thought about sin entering into the world as by one man, Adam. Sin entered into the world and death by sin. And so sin, as death is passed upon all, for all have sinned. It's a state of unrighteousness. It is also a nature. We've got a nature that is at war with God. God says, I've got my law. I've got my standards. The heart of man says, I'll go my own way. I'll do my own thing. That's sin. It's rebellion against God. It's disobedience. A state of unrighteousness. A nature that is at war with God. It's also a bias to evil. You know, I didn't need to go to school to learn how to tell lies. That just came naturally. And as I look at you and you look at me, we're all just the same. There's only one person that has ever been on our planet Earth that has thought no sin, has practiced no sin. In fact, in him there is no sin. He is absolutely holy and pure and sinless. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is the Saviour that you need. He's the Saviour that I and others in the meeting tonight have come to trust. And you're either saved by the Lord Jesus or you're lost and still a distance from the Lord Jesus. So in the book of Joel, when these words are read, the emphasis on is upon being saved. But you know, you come to Peter in Acts chapter 2, and he's preaching the gospel. There's thousands of people in Jerusalem. It's very interesting to read Acts because it just follows the crucifixion and the gospels of the Lord Jesus and how the Lord Jesus died for our sins. He was buried and he rose again the third day, and then he went back to his Father in heaven. And then straight after these amazing events in Jerusalem, the disciples of the Lord Jesus, the followers of the Lord Jesus, they went into Jerusalem and they preached the gospel. They told men and women that Christ had died for the ungodly, but he was risen again. He was a living Saviour, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Peter preached that. And the emphasis in his preaching in Acts chapter 2 is very much upon the Lord. I want to tell you, and I hope you get the gist of this night after night, that we preach not ourselves. We're not telling you to come to the gospel hall and become a member of the gospel hall, and that will be your ticket to heaven. That will be your insurance policy from hell, because that would be a lie. Salvation, getting right with God, having a right restored relationship with the God of eternity, is all about trusting his Son. Christianity is all about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all about a relationship with him. It's all about a living, vital relationship with Christ that commences when you call upon him. And Peter makes it very clear in his preaching, whether it's Acts chapter 2 or whether it's Acts chapter 4 verse 12, he stands up to another crowd of thousands and he says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's only Christ that can reach and rescue. It's only the Lord Jesus Christ who has the ability, as we were saying last night, and the willingness to save sinners. There's only one sinner, one Saviour for sinners. Christ is the Saviour of sinners. Why is he not your Saviour tonight? What is wrong with the Lord Jesus Christ that you keep him at arm's length? What is faulty about the Lord Jesus and his great salvation that you don't want it? Because it's what you need. And if you miss Christ, you miss everything. It's the Lord who saves sinners. Do you know, Peter, in a physical way, experienced what happened when he called on the name of the Lord. Let me explain for a moment. In Matthew chapter 14, Peter was drowning in the Sea of Galilee. It was very stormy. He was in the water. Not going into all the details. Read it for yourself. Matthew chapter 14. He needed somebody to save him, because remember last night I was explaining that salvation means to be rescued from danger. Peter was drowning. He needed someone to rescue him. The Lord Jesus Christ was there in touching distance. Peter was going down. He needed a Saviour. He calls out from the depth of his heart three golden words. He says, Lord, save me. What is he doing? He's calling on the name of the Lord. What does the Lord Jesus Christ do? He reaches out and he rescues him. And what the Lord Jesus did for Peter physically, he also did for Peter spiritually. And he's done the same for me. In loving kindness, Jesus came, my soul in mercy to reclaim. And from the depths of sin and shame, through grace, he lifted me. There's a wonderful Saviour standing, waiting on your call tonight. He died on the cross, and with nail-scarred hands, he still says to everybody who's willing to listen, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And whosoever comes, and whosoever calls, and whosoever trusts, and whosoever believes on the Lord shall be saved." Emphasis, first of all, upon being saved. Then it shifts to the importance of the Lord. It's the Lord Jesus Christ who we present. Only him. It's not Christ and my good works. It's not Christ and my bit. You hear people saying, doing my bit. I was speaking to a man today about these things, just near the hall. And she said, I do my bit. I do my bit for the community. I do my bit. I know what he was meaning. Do you know what the Bible says about the very best we can do? Filthy rags. Filthy rags. You see, when you come to understand what the Lord Jesus Christ did at Calvary's cross 2,000 years ago, you come to understand that the work that pleases God and has provided salvation has been done. It's not our doing. It's what has been done to the entire satisfaction of God, because it was God who was offended by mankind's sins. It was God who was offended by our rebellion. It's God who's angry with the sinner every day because of the awfulness of sin in his sight. But he had the solution. He had the answer. God was not taken at a short. No, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And it's the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary's cross went into death voluntarily, shed his precious blood freely, endured the judgment of God submissively, and cried with a loud cry after the ordeal, after the horrific sufferings at Calvary's cross. He cried, "It is finished," bowed his head, entered into death, and God in heaven was satisfied. God was well pleased with the suffering of his Son and the sacrifice of his Son, because it was through death and through that one sacrifice the Lord Jesus put away sin by the sacrifice of himself, so that a righteous, holy God can receive, pardon, cleanse, justify every person who comes and calls upon the name of the Lord. It's a great thing to be saved. A great thing to be saved. It's all about the Lord. Don't miss him. Don't miss him. I've got a great fear that many, many people, sincere people that I speak to, have missed the big thing. And they're talking about their church, and they're talking about their goodness, and they're talking about their works, and they're talking about themselves. And there's no mention of the Lord. I say again, it's all about him. He did all the suffering. We had done all the sinning. And that's the heart of the gospel. Christ hath also once suffered for sins, the just for we the unjust, that he might bring us to God. But here, just in closing, here's Paul. He says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And he's exhorting the Romans to do exactly that, to make that vital call. And he explains that, you know, there's absolutely no difference. All need to call. If you had read on, if you read verse 12 rather, Paul says there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. There's great comfort, there's great assurance in knowing that the Lord is no respecter of persons. He's not discriminatory. He's not marked by partiality. He's rich towards all who call. There's no differences. I remember meeting an old school friend just a few months ago. And, well, he's made a real mess of his life. Real mess of his life. And he said to me, as I spoke to him about the gospel, about the Lord Jesus, he says, Blair, that's all right for you. I just find the whole thing too difficult. I could never keep it up. I could never do what you do. He says, yeah, you're absolutely right. I says, the difficult part was done at Calvary when the Lord Jesus suffered for sinners on the cross. He did all the work. And it's him, after you trust him, who gives you the power to live for Christ and to walk after the Lord Jesus and to follow him. These are all just excuses. The difficult part was done. We just have to accept what was done and rest on a finished work and receive the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, the great thing is, when we do call upon him, there's no doubts. There's no doubts. He leaves no doubts. He presents us with absolutely no doubts. Because, you know, I've already quoted it. He says, if you come to me, I'll never cast you out, and I'll never leave you, and I'll never stop loving you, and I'll be with you every step of the way. What does David say? The Lord is my shepherd. And even when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for he'll be with me. What a difference that is. I don't know how many times I've sat at a funeral and the person who has died has not been a Christian. And it is so sad. It is so unspeakably sad. And yet, what a difference when you go to a Christian funeral. What triumph. What great assurance that the person is absent, yes, from the body and at home with the Lord. And he gives no disappointments. He's a great Saviour. He's worthy of your acceptance. He's worthy of your trust. Is it not time to make that call? Here's a wee word of warning. A few months ago, I was in Edinburgh Airport. Last year, I was going down to Wales, Cardiff. And there was a few young people on the flight. It must have been a time of students going down south. And there was this young girl, and she just looked a wee lassie, and she was breaking her heart. And I'm certainly no in the business of going up and embarrassing young people, anything like that. But I felt I should go and speak to her if everything was okay. I've got daughters, and I know how I would feel if my wee girls were upset. She was breaking her heart. I said to her, what's wrong? Why are you crying? She was only 17, 18 years of age, and she was going down to university in Cardiff. Going away from home, October time, September time. I'm going to be there for weeks. She says, I just want to speak to my mum, but I've got no service. I've got no reception on my phone. And I said, well, I says, I've just phoned my wife. I says, I've got reception. Her flight was delayed, by the way. It was Flybe. Flight was delayed. Fly maybe. And I gave her my phone. And the tears were just gone. And she spoke to her mum. And everything was all right. Do you know, the first thing that came to my mind was this. There's no service in hell. No reception there. And if you don't make this vital call before you die, before it's too late, you can call for all eternity in hell, but it's too late. I say again, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I say to you, I would implore you seriously tonight, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. call ye upon him while he is near. You need to make that call. And when you do it, when you admit your need, and out of a sincere heart, you just call and cry to the Lord for mercy, for salvation. When you turn away from your sin and turn to the Lord Jesus by faith and acknowledge him, he is the Lord and Savior that you need. And when you do that, you're saved. Dying thief did that by the side of the Lord Jesus before he died. He said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. I know I'm a sinner and I know you've not done one thing wrong. You've done nothing amiss. Lord, save me. And minutes before he died, minutes before the soldiers came to break his legs, to quicken his death, he called on the name of the Lord. And the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. If you believe that Christ died for your sins on the cross, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, and he's a living Saviour, he's the Son of God. Whosoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him, and he in God, when you call on the name of the Lord, you're saved. Make that vital call tonight. Shall we pray? Father, we thank thee for thy way of salvation, simple and complicated. We praise thee, our Father, though, for the tremendous work the Lord Jesus accomplished to provide so great salvation, and we long that no one would undermine or fail to appreciate that great sacrifice. So bless us as we part now. We long to hear of salvation. We long to hear men and women telling us that they've called sincerely on the name of the Lord. We would rejoice with the angels in heaven over sinners repenting. We ask these things now in the Saviour's precious name. Amen.